At the top of our program, the tension between supporters of traditional schools and charter schools in Michigan has intensified. That's because of recent stories in the Detroit Free Press, which raise serious doubts about the operation and oversight of the state's nearly 400 charter schools. Public revenue that underwrites Michigan charter schools amounts to nearly $1 billion a year, according to the story. The paper's Jennifer Dixon writes, quote, "Taxpayers and parents are left clueless about how charter schools spend the public's money," unquote. In its review of 20 years of charter school records, the Free Press also found instances of wasteful spending, poor academic performance, a lack of regulation, and resistance to reform. The issue becomes more complicated since a number of Michigan charter schools appear to be run well and doing a very good job. Quite a few serve minorities living in poverty. Two guests rejoin us today to respond to some of the issues raised in the articles. Amber Arellano is Executive Director of EdTrust Midwest, a nonpartisan education advocacy and research organization based in Ann Arbor. Amber, welcome back.
Thank you.
And rejoining us as well, the superintendent of a successful Lansing charter school, Brian Shaughnessy, has been with the city's Cole Academy since 2010. He also spent 14 years in public school teaching and administration. Brian Shaughnessy, welcome back.
Thank you.
The articles are scathing in terms of abuses by for-profit management companies that are at a number of charter schools, especially regarding transparency over how they spend public money. It also says that Michigan has more of these for-profit management companies running charter schools than a number of other states, and that often the boards that run the schools let the management companies, quote, handle the money and make the decisions, unquote. Amber Arellano, is this a problem from your perspective? Is this situation on your radar?
Yeah, it is, and it has been for a few years now. You know, Michigan is very unusual for the things that you were talking about, the characteristics of its charter school sector. We have one of the largest percentages of for-profit management companies running charter schools, and some of them do a really terrific job. Some of them are really providing students high-quality schooling. They're providing better options and choices that kids would not have had in their neighborhoods without that school. Unfortunately, as the Free Press is pointing out, there are lots of other ones, though, that there's some very mysterious and obviously now the Free Press is showing concerning practices. You know, millions of dollars not being accounted for, people wondering, you know, trying to figure out where money is going and saying, look, these are public dollars, and, you know, we think we ought to be able to really know as parents, as civic leaders, as community leaders. And when companies say, well, no, I mean, we're a private company, you know, these records aren't privy to FOIA, it just raises suspicions for people.
Let's visit with Brian Shaughnessy here of Lansing's Cole Academy about this particular issue. Is Cole run by a for-profit management company, Brian?
No, it's not, Mark. We're the board runs the show. The board, it's a self-managed, independent board. We do have some a la carte HR stuff that we do farm out. I think it's kind of important to realize when we start lumping charter schools and traditional schools and make these broad comments that it's just really not fair. It just seems that there's been a number of issues over the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years back east here with traditional schools, and you could take those same comments about mismanagement and funds and taxpayer dollars and transfer them to a traditional school conversation. They've come up with the same problems. Metro Detroit, River Rouge, East Detroit, Pontiac, Farmington, Oakland Public Schools, they've all had these issues over the last, you know, I looked that up yesterday, it took me 5 minutes.
Amber, what do you make of that? I mean, is it really as mixed a landscape as Brian Shaughnessy suggests?
Well, I mean, it's a sort of same and different, right? I mean, so on one hand, I think Brian's absolutely right in that both the traditional public school sector and the the charter sector, both have a lot of variation in terms of quality, and both sectors, you know, have lots of high performers, mediocre schools, and then schools that are struggling, and you know, schools that have problems with corruption and others that don't. One of the things that's different about the charter sector is, as you were pointing out earlier, is that because we have it's so dominated in Michigan by for-profits, it's unusual when some of those companies, you know, don't abide by the same sort of laws and spirit of transparency that traditional public schools or even a nonprofit charter school might abide by. I think the other thing that we have to keep in mind, too, is that the Free Press really highlights strongly is that when the charter school movement opened in Michigan in the early 90s, it promised to offer better options than what children could find in traditional public schools. So the promise was that if you give us more flexibility, less regulation, less oversight, we promise to deliver better for students and for especially for poor children. And the problem is, and I think that for us, this is the thing that's the most concerning thing is that unfortunately many of those schools are not only not providing a better option, they're actually often providing a worse option. So we're spending now about $1 billion annually on these schools, and in many cases the schools are absolutely abysmal in terms of academic performance. And I mean, even when you compare them to other schools that are serving predominantly kids of color or low-income students, right? For some schools are far underperforming our worst public school districts in the state, including Flint Public Schools and Detroit Public Schools. So, you know, when an operator is chronically underperforming some of the worst and most troubled public school districts in the country, we've got to really kind of take a look at that and say, you know, that's not why the charter sector was created in Michigan. And we've got to figure out ways that we can strengthen the sector, you know, increase that transparency and build the sector. And, you know, for folks that are running great schools like Cole Academy in Lansing, how do we replicate more of those schools in Michigan rather than the ones that are doing so badly?
Well, that's a good question, Ann Byrne. I'd like to answer it. First of all, we had some, I wouldn't say limited success. We're seeing some real positive trends, and I'm always a shameless self-promoter for Cole Academy, but I won't get into the numbers, how we beat some local top schools in the state last year and 25% increases in different things. I won't get into those details. but to answer your question, no one has called the school to see what we're doing better. You know, and no one called to say, gee, how did you do that last year or this year? And I don't know why that is, because when I came into the district and when I met with the board, who's very supportive, I called the top schools in the state. I asked them what they were doing. And you look at the best practices for the National Council of Teacher Mathematics, National Council of Teachers of English. It's not a mystery in how to run a great school. It's, we've been doing this research for 20 years. Dewey's been talking it since the 50s. We know what to do. We just need to do it.
You think charter schools are getting a bad rap here, Brian?
Well, I don't think you could lump charter schools into, you know, it's like comparing Hazlitt to Lansing. I mean, does Hazlitt step on the podium and talk about how Lansing's doing, or Lansing talk about how they're doing better than somebody else? It's just not a fair comparison. There's a variety of options in the charter school industry and management of schools that has not been discussed at all. It's just been all been lumped in. For instance, you have a board superintendent staff. They all work for the board. You have an independent board that hires out a separate superintendent from a different HR company, and they supervise the staff. You have HR. I mean, there's just so many different things in different schools. So in one way, I do agree we should be able to vet out these schools, either help them, I think, and they can be helped, and do what we can. Or not. I mean, and that's the question. But once you start lumping traditional and charter schools, it's every one of these schools takes on a life of its own, and it comes down to the board having the option of keeping these companies. They do have contracts. They do run out. If they're not performing well, then somebody has to make some tough decisions, and I think that's what the biggest problem is.
We're talking about Michigan charter schools today. Our guests on Current State, Brian Shaughnessy, superintendent of Lansing's Cole Academy Charter School, and Amber Arellano, executive director of EdTrust Midwest. an education policy organization based in Ann Arbor. Let's talk about authorizers, because every charter school has an authorizer. The Free Press articles go into this in some depth. In Michigan, charter schools are often authorized by public state universities, but they can also be authorized by school districts and community colleges. And the article suggests these authorizers sometimes continue to grant more charters to operators that are underperforming or failing, and that too little genuine oversight is provided by the authorizers. Amber Arellano, what do you make in general of the relationships between authorizers and the boards that run charter schools?
Yeah, so this is a huge issue. It's a huge problem in Michigan. We're in a very unusual state for both the number of authorizers that we have and for the lack of oversight that we have over authorizers. In fact, I mean, you know, no one really can hold our authorizers accountable in Michigan. If Governor Snyder said, you know, I'm really concerned about X authorizer and its practices, and I wanna regulate that authorizer. I mean, not the governor doesn't even have that kind of authority right now, and that's very unusual compared to leading education states like Massachusetts, like Minnesota, where the standards for opening and expansion are very high. And I just want to give an example, if I may. So Stanford University has come out with a series of reports that gives apples-to-apples comparisons about performance, not only charter schools compared to charter schools, but traditional public schools to charter schools. And it's really trying to get at, you know, once we consider for poverty, which unfortunately we know does have a negative impact on performance, how are our charter schools doing across the country? And what they found in Michigan was that there are many charter schools that are outperforming traditional public schools, and they're fantastic. And thank goodness that they're open and they're providing those options for those kids. Unfortunately, we do have some very, very, really some of the worst performing operators in the country, and we have authorizers continuing to allow them to expand. In fact, we have operators that are performing so low that they've shown negative student growth in these Stanford University reports. But we have authorizers continuing to allow them to expand and take on more students.
Let's give Brian Shaughnessy a chance to weigh in here. Central Michigan University
is
your authorizer at Cole
is.
Academy, correct? Just talk about the relationship between your board and CMU.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I can't speak upon the schools and the authorizers she's talking about. I can only go from my own experience. I'd like to see a traditional school do the required reports that I have to do for Central Michigan University. As far as I'm concerned, they do a good job. Keep in mind, I have no relationship with them other than they come in and they make sure that we do compliance reports. I have a master calendar that has about 5 to 10 tasks each month that I have to make sure that I do. We post our minutes of our board meetings. We post our agenda. We make sure that timelines are done, posted 10, 15 days, whatever the requirements are ahead of time. We do a public hearing for our budget. We have an auditor come in to do our books every year, which costs the board quite a bit of money. I mean, there's a lot of – when you say compliance, I mean, these are things that the CMU and the authorizers are making sure schools do. They don't do that in public schools. That doesn't happen.
It sounds like there's a framework here, Amber, for things to be done right.
Correct.
But it is simply when it comes to on the ground operations, when it comes to the peculiarities of the authorizers, when it comes to the idiosyncrasies of the boards, of the staffs, there's all kinds of variation.
There's not just one thing, and that's an important point.
Yeah.
There is a lot of variation, and that's normal, right? I mean, just as there's variation.
But how do we get ahead? How do we get ahead here, though? What is the way ahead?
For example, they wouldn't. I mean, so Cole Academy is obviously it's one of the good schools out there. But let's say Cole had been failing for more than a decade, and its students were doing so badly that they would actually be far better off, twice as likely to read in the Detroit Public Schools than at Cole Academy. So in a place like Massachusetts, there would be state standards in place, right, that would ensure that the authorizer of Cole Academy, not only was it giving that school more support to improve, but at the very least, that authorizer wasn't saying, gosh, Cole, you're doing so badly, we actually want you to open up 3 more schools because we want you to fail 7,000 more students.
Yeah, well, you're getting.
And we want to put Michigan taxpayers' money into that in that kind of a failure.
Well, you're getting really, specific.
Quality standards that they have for expansion, right? And so it's not.
Amber, you had cut me off the last. Amber, you talked over me the last time I was here. I'm not going to be able to do that this time. You talked over me the last
time. Let's give Brian a chance to respond to that.
Amber, you know, you got really specific here at our school, and I appreciate that, but that's what people need to do. You need to start getting specific about the specific individual schools that are having a problem, and you address those problems. Now, those are difficult things to do, and people might have to be fired, and tough decisions might have to be made. But that's what you need to do. Hit specific schools that need to be fixed, not address all charter schools do this and all charter schools do that. And just like all traditional schools can't be lumped into that same category, charter schools need the same courtesy. And we are a public school. We're required to do state reports. I have auditors coming in from the state, Title I. I have compliance things that I have to do for the state and for the federal government that we're required to do, just like every other public school in the country.
Brian, you've done a good job, I think, of pointing out the complexities in this landscape. What would you say is the way ahead, briefly?
Well, the state's doing a good job, and I think the MDE of identifying these schools. And quite frankly, it's no mystery in how to have a great school. It just really isn't. And if you look at best practices and effective school correlates by effective school correlates, and you look at all the research and Jeffrey Canada, I mean, we know what to do. We just need to do it.
Do we need more transparency, though, Brian, in terms
of
how dollars are spent?
Of course, we're required to put our transparency in our budget on the year, just like every other public school. And the bottom line is that the Board of Education is the ultimate one making these decisions. Now, somebody signed up with these companies years ago and sold the farm. Now, and they have contracts. So if that's a problem, there's wasteful spending or money, I can't speak on it. I'm not part of that situation. But get specific about those specific schools, no specific wasteful things, not lumping charter schools and all these other issues into one basket.
We have just scratched the surface of a big, sprawling, important topic. We want to thank both of our guests. Amber Arellano is Executive Director of EdTrust Midwest in Ann Arbor, and Brian Shaughnessy is the Superintendent of the Lansing Charter School, the Cole Academy. Amber and Brian, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.